This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
You know who else is interesting all the time?
Who's that?
Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez.
He sure
known
is.
As A-Rod.
I know who he is.
I call him Alex, though. And he's joining us right now. I think he's in Minnesota today. What's up, Alex?
What's up, Michael?
All good? All
Don,
good?
Peter, how's everyone doing?
Great.
How you
Great.
Doing, bud?
Doing well. Well, we're excited that we were in Madison Square Garden just last week. We won a big game, and last night we won another one. But we're fighting life and death to get into the postseason.
Let me just ask one question about the T-Wolves since you brought it up. What is the level of intensity, like when you're watching a game as an owner versus when you were playing for the Yankees, say?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there is absolutely no comparison. It's so much easier to play baseball than to watch. You know, when you play baseball, like Reggie says, you can control the ink with your bat every single day. But as a spectator, you can just hope for the best. But it's so frustrating. I get so nervous. When I'm with my daughters, like, Dad, just calm down.
No one was calm in Miami. So, Alex, I mean, you grew up down there. That ballpark has been empty for a long time. It was full. Tell me what it was like. You were there for Fox. What was the WBC like in terms of intensity?
It was the most intense, Michael, I've ever seen in baseball. I mean, it does remind me in so many ways of the late 90s with the Yankees and the excitement around the old stadium. The brand of baseball is just fantastic. And look, it gives us all hopes, with baseball being my first love, and Michael, I know it's yours as well, is that there is a hope to bring the glory days back to baseball. But the one thing is clear, Michael, Japan has closed the gap to Major League Baseball. This is no fluke that they won. Like, they play great baseball. They control the strike zone. They wear pitchers down. They take strikeouts personally. They play the game. They run. They bunt. And they make contact. And it's just a fun game to play and even more fun to watch.
I think that on the postgame show on FS1, you actually said the phrase, I guess analytics hasn't come to Japan. Do you believe that's why they play the game that way?
Look, I think analytics is very, very important to the game. But like anything else, you can't just put all your eggs in one basket. I think there's room for people like Billy Martin, Joe Torre, Stig Mikels. Like, I think it's a massive mistake to take all those great personalities and experience off the game and just put it into the really smart brains of these front offices. I think it's a blend, and they're doing it better than anyone. But they have pitchers that know how to pitch that happen to throw hard. Mm-hmm. They have hitters that are great hitters that want to make contact that happen to have power. They have runners that are fast, but they're first great base runners, and they're also fast. It reminds me of the late 90s where those teams were fun to watch. They didn't hit a gazillion home runs, but they fought like hell. And this whole thing about, hey, I can strike out four times in a game and the front office pat you in the back, I think is just absurd and is awful baseball to watch.
And just to watch Ohtani, Alex, to just see somebody can throw over 100 miles per hour, can hit the ball, you know, 450 feet. You're a sports aficionado. Is this the greatest athlete we've seen since Bo Jackson?
I think so. And you know, how many times can we say in a field of all-stars, one guy is the fastest runner, pitcher that throws the hardest, is the hitter that hits it the furthest, and when he goes to the weight room, he's also the strongest and squats almost 600 pounds. Not since Babe Ruth, Don, have we been able to say those things. And it's a two-man class. That's it. Two-man class.
I'm wondering, because you played in World Series. I mean, you had 696 home runs. Were you on the edge of your seat for Ohtani against Trout?
I mean, holy smokes, right? We were, you know, Kevin Burkhardt in our pregame says, wouldn't it be great? One-run game, Ohtani comes to close, and it's Mike Trout, only baseball theater. And that's why the game is so incredible to watch. And I got to tell you, it was the best pitcher against the best player. He threw the nastiest slider, John Smoltz slider, on a 3-2 pitch. nastiest slider to the best hitter in the biggest moment, and it was just pandemonium. And that stadium, Michael, it gives everybody hope down here in South Florida that baseball could be king if they build it. If they find somebody like Steve Cohen that's doing all the incredible things that Steve is doing with the Mets, if you can find an owner like that down here, it would be lights out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The WBC didn't have me at the beginning, Alex,
sure,
because
did.
One thing, it got me toward the end, I because I loved the games. They were so intense. But I wanted to ask you this. A lot of players said that winning the WBC would mean more to them than winning the World Series. I can't comprehend that. How would you have felt?
Well, I mean, different for me, Michael, because I was born in New York, raised here. But I can tell you this, when I speak to my compadres in Dominican, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, it's not even close. I mean, they're playing for the pride of their country, their island, and that's everything to them. As a matter of fact, some players rather win in winter ball than win in the World Series down here. That's not all of them. I'm just saying some of them have told me that privately, but this is true. Now, it's taken a minute, right? It's taken a decade or so to get some traction. I think COVID and skipping, you know, that third year created even more scarcity around it. But it's here, and it's here to stay. And, Michael, the game that we did with Fox was the most watched game in the history of our sport that goes back over a century. And Fox, we had 5.2 million people watching for FS1. That's either a record or very close to a record.
And you know I'm a hockey guy, Alex, so I've lived through, you know, the Ovechkins of the world that would rather win a gold medal for Russia than win a Stanley Cup. But can't both be true that those guys that want to win the World Baseball Classic also passionately want to win the World Series? It just shows you how representing your country is so important. But can't both be true?
Yeah, look, you have guys like, you know, Jorge Posada and Bernie Williams that they want to win 1 out of 10, a 10 for the Yankees and a 10 for Puerto Rico. And I think that is true, Don, for a lot of players. I will say this. There are some players where there's no comparison. They come to spring training on the very last day. The minute the season's over, they go back to their island, and that's where they're kings. That's where they have the nice cars. That's where they want to, you know, show off and enjoy their life. And winning for their country means more because they're the ultimate underdog.
I wanted to go back to Ohtani for a second, Alex, because I really think, I mean, obviously in Judge, we already have a real star of this generation. Maybe something that we lacked even just 5 years ago. As great as Trout was, he hasn't been the national star that maybe baseball would have hoped for. Ohtani feels like he could be the biggest guy in the sport. Have you gotten any time to engage with him at all? And what's he like, if you have, dealing with you?
You know, he's a prince of a guy. We interviewed him in the post game. Not only is he charming, he's a great looking guy. He's 6'4". I mean, he looks like a model, this guy. And also very political. I asked him the question. I said, growing up, who were some of the guys you looked up to? And in a very elegant way, he said, well, I'm sitting in between two of them, Big Papi and A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. So we got up and we gave him a big hug. But look, this guy, Peter, has over 25 endorsements in Japan. How many people in any sport, including, you know, football, that is the absolute darling of America, the NBA, that's another juggernaut, but how many people can say that, you know, Japan, over 70 million people watching, and they woke up to a breakfast of champions at 8 in the morning, that many people watching the game, and basically had the whole country on his shoulders, and he just did a marvelous job. In baseball, I mean, if they don't do something with this guy, we're going to miss another massive opportunity.
All right, so for those that don't know, Alex has a real good sense of seeing ahead of the field of what people are going to make. I mean, he did it in his own career, and on the K-Rod cast last year, he was telling me that Judge was going to get over $40 million, and this was before anybody thought that was even possible. So laying that out, what do you think that Otani's going to get, Alex? What could he possibly make, and what's he worth? This is a top-flight pitcher and a top-flight hitter.
Well, I think there's two different questions in there, Michael, a lot to unpack. Number one, what is he worth? Probably they're not going to be able to pay him what he's worth, right, because you have constraints of revenue and resources, and obviously everyone has budgets. I think there's two decisions to make. He's either going to end up as a Dodger or a Yankee. And actually had the Mets there too, because Steve Cohen is always in play with it, with his pocketbook and his passion for bringing a championship to the Mets. You know, L.A. probably has a competitive advantage because the reason why he chose the West Coast is 6 hours closer to his home in Japan. So those, I think, are the candidates. I think he will be our first $50 million player. And I think the way you have an ROI on that is, you got to make the money in marketing. You got to make it on TV, SNY, Yes Network. Obviously, the Dodgers are a juggernaut. But I don't think a guy like Otani could be afforded in a secondary or tertiary market. He has to be in one of the big twos, New York or LA.
Is there a chance, though, Alex, that because of the international money, obviously particularly Japan, that he's capable of generating, that it might be an opportunity for one of those tertiary markets to gamble, hoping they can make so much from him in other ways?
You could, but the problem with, look, baseball has some tremendous short-term headwinds. Obviously, Bally's already filed bankruptcy. That's where a big bulk of the money comes from, is from the regional sports network deals. Others have tried. Peter, to me, it would be very risky, but, you know, a market like San Francisco that has no debt in that ballpark. It has a rich franchise. They're hungry to bring a championship back. Japanese do very, very well in that market. That could be another interesting market.
Alex, we're a week away. How devastating is the Diaz injury to the Mets? Can they overcome it?
I think they can overcome it because I think they have the best owner in the game and the best manager in the game. And a combination of resources and Buck Showalter's brain power, I think, again, my prediction, and I told Michael this before Buck took over, that they'll win two championships in 7 years. Don, that makes you very happy. Michael, yes, doesn't make you happy at all.
Well, if but the Yankees win the other five, that's cool.
You know, Don, well, when you have the resources like Cohen, and you have the intelligence and the grittiness of a Buck Showalter, he's always going to find a way to win. So I bet big on the Mets.
All right. I know that you sat down with Judge yesterday in an exclusive one-on-one. What was that like? You've always been a supporter of Judge. Even when he was hurt, you said that this guy is something special. So what was that like yesterday?
I mean, he's the other side, right? I mean, here are the two faces of baseball, right? It's Otani and Judge. And Judge is all that and then some. He has wonderful parents. I kidded him yesterday that I said, your mom is an educator. Your dad's an educator. Your brother John in Korea is an educator. They all teach English. Your grammar better be on point. That's a lot of good stuff. But it was great. We were on field three, Michael. We're going to launch it April 1st, I think, right before opening day against the Giants. And he was wonderful. He told us some really good things. You'll be very happy to hear some of the things he told me. I was very surprised. And we also unpacked his swing, and it was interesting how different of a swing he had as a 20-year-old versus a 30-year-old. And it was fascinating the way he broke it down.
So was last year 62, Alex? Was that once in a lifetime, or could he one day approach that again?
Yeah, I think it is once in a lifetime, Michael, because now I feel that from day one he would get the Barry Bonds treatment. Mm-hmm. And I think his walks are going to go up. I think his average will continue to go up. You know, the fascinating thing is not only the home runs, but he drove in over 130. He also hit over 300. He also played great defense. He was also a model citizen. He's Madison Avenue worthy, and he's a very dependable guy. I think he should shoot for 300, 40-plus every year, and 120. And I think that's the bar for Judge, and I think he'll do that with ease.
Well, let's just say there is the drop-off of 12 less home runs, 10 less RBIs. How much does that affect the Yankees' win-loss total?
I think with Judge, nothing's changed. I think it might change, Don, 4 or 5 games here and there. But the key for the Yankees is you have to surround Judge with great players. You look at a guy like Trey Turner, and you wonder, how is a guy like that not wearing pinstripes? And I think Yankees, the reason why I think they've only won one championship in the last 24 years is because they're trying to win by being smarter than you. The Yankees have 27 championships by just being better, by drafting great people, developing the international market. And you don't have to outsmart Tampa because you're not Tampa. You're the great Yankees. Use those resources like George Steinbrenner did and how Steinbrenner did in 09 to bring us that title. And I think they have to get back to a little bit of old-school baseball, look the way Japan's playing baseball, bring back the Stick Michaels of the world, the Buck Showalters, but bring more baseball people in the room to help out Cashman and company.
All right, so, Alex, I just want to remind you, I know you got the big Yankees-Giants on April 1st on Saturday, but you got to show up at the Seaport for the first K-Rod on April 2nd, Phillies at Texas, so we're ready.
I am excited, and we're going to have some awesome guests, Michael. I have some surprises I haven't even told you about.
Oh, wow. Really?
You're going to love some of these people. I'll give you a clue. Okay. It's in the basketball world. Iconic. That's all I have, Michael. That's all I have.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. All right. The first K-Rod is Phillies at Texas. Alex and I will do it on April 2nd. We have 3 K-Rods in April, so we're looking forward to that. Alex, I know you're super busy today. Thanks for popping on with us and telling us some insight on the WBC.
Michael, thank you. My only request as I go out is we have to have Don and Peter join us for K-Rod at least one Sunday this year.
Thank you. Thanks for being a friend and
a good
teammate.
You really think that works, Alex? I'm not sure. Do you really think that works?
I do.
Yeah, see?
We appreciate you, Alex. I look forward to the email coming in.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Wow. That puts a lot of pressure on Michael, doesn't it?
It really makes me look really bad now.
Don't worry. He'll ignore it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.